Good morning, everyone, from the Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church. This morning, our church is closed. Closed due to COVID-19 pandemic, and we are following Newfoundland government regulations where our church buildings will need to remain closed for the foreseeable future. But that will be updated on a weekly basis. But today, we are live. We are live from our church. Myself and my assistant, which is my daughter, is here in this church to share a message this morning that deals directly with what we are going through in today's world. So for our members, for friends, for those who are listening on our YouTube channel, and those who will listen on Living Word Radio, I thank you for being with us this morning. I praise God that we can worship online, and I also thank God for His great mercy and His grace and forgiveness that is bestowed upon each and every one. I ask you now to join me as we open our service, our message today, with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. We thank you again for your great love. Lord, this morning as we are bowed, as we come to worship you, to learn at your feet, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Your Son, Jesus, who sacrificed all for us that we may have life and the life more abundant. This morning, as we open your word, we pray, Father, that your word will open to us hidden treasures from your throne of grace. Lord, I pray that you will speak through me, this weak vessel. I pray, Father, that you will anoint my mind, anoint these lips, that the words that come out will come directly from your throne of grace, that people will hear the loving words of Jesus. We thank you for all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, our title is A Strong Refuge. A Strong Refuge. It's a fitting title for today's world that we live in. Our scripture reference, our main scripture reference this morning is taken from the book of Psalm, chapter 46. I invite you to turn there, Psalm 46. And here we're going to read words from David, who is praising God, that God is his refuge. For we know that in scripture, David was often afflicted by his enemies. So, Psalm 46, and beginning with verse 1 to 3, I'll be reading this morning from the King James Version. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Amen. So here we see that the earth is in turmoil, but yet we know that God is in control. God is in control. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." When we run to the strong tower of the Lord, we are safe no matter what we face. So for those who are listening or watching this morning, I have a question. Do you lock your doors at night? You know, there was a time, even in the recent past, when many people did not lock their doors. Were you one of them? It was a different time indeed. Yes, most of us lock our doors at night, myself included. And when we get into our car, we buckle our seatbelts, don't we? Most of us place our money into the bank rather than hiding it into a mattress somewhere. And if we have surgery, we want someone to come and pray over us, don't we? Before we are rolled into that operating room. Why? Why do we do these things? Because we believe that locking our door at night makes us safe. Buckling our seatbelts makes us safe. Seeking God's blessing brings a sense of safety and security into our lives. We do all these things and many, many more because safety is important to us. We want our children to be safe. We want our spouses to be safe. We want our homes to be safe. We want our country to be safe. And the truth is, not only do you desire safety and security for your family, God wants us to be safe as well. Amen. We know this because within the pages of Scripture, we find God continually expressing the fact that He wants His children to be safe, even in this world of trouble that we find ourselves in today. He leads us towards safety. God desires to lead us to safety. He provides for our safety. He yearns for our safety. He died for our safety. It's true. He died for our safety. Do you know what the opposite of safe is? Now, you may say that the opposite of safe is unsafe. But let me expand on that a little bit. Safe is vulnerable. Unsafe is vulnerable, dangerous, harmful, or unprotected. And in spite of the fact that God wants us to be safe, there are millions within this world, Christians included, who continue to place themselves in dangerous situations, vulnerable situations, and therefore they are subject to harm. They may find themselves without the protection, peace, or security God yearns to provide. We hold tightly to the things of this world and loosely to that of God. That happens in our lives sometimes, doesn't it? We place our trust in the physical and we turn a cold shoulder to the spiritual. Who do you trust? Who do I trust? Within the Bible, trust has a broader perspective, one that speaks of our assurance of reliance on the strength, the ability, the wisdom and truth of God above and beyond anything else. Check this out. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, Solomon writes this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." There it is, a battle for control. Do we lean on God or do we rely on self? I don't know about you, but the more times I rely on myself, it has led to complete and utter failure every single time. It may not right away, it may take some time, but eventually, when we rely on ourselves, we will see that all is lost when it comes to our own reliance on self. Now, according to Scripture, it is the Lord in whom we are to trust, not ourselves, certainly not the world's wisdom or devices. And according to Scripture, we trust in the Lord because He and He alone is trustworthy. And according to Scripture, we are to trust Him with all of our hearts, committing every aspect of our lives to Him. And according to Scripture, we are not to trust in ourselves because our understanding is what? It's temporal, it's finite, and tainted by our sinful nature, which, remember, we are born with. I remember a number of years ago, I was flying from the St. John's International Airport here in Newfoundland. I was flying from St. John's to the Halifax International Airport, and I was attending a training session for work at that time. So we took off, the flight was going well, and we were coasting along at 35,000 feet, and all of a sudden, our plane flew through one of the most severe turbulent episodes that I have ever experienced on a plane. And as it did, the plane just seemed to drop right out of the sky, and it just kept dropping and dropping and veering to the right and veering to the left and up and down. And to be honest with you and to be frank with you, I was scared. I figured that that plane was going down. But in the midst of all this, I noticed a man and a woman sitting together in the next aisle across from me. And the man, when the turbulence began, he grabbed a hold to his wife's, I can only assume they're husband and wife, grabbed a hold to his wife's hand, and I could see that he wanted to provide her comfort. He wanted to provide her safety amidst that difficult situation. But you know something? Could that husband save his wife if the plane went down? No. You know, When we get on a plane, we rely on mechanics, the airplane or airfield mechanics that work on these planes, make sure they're mechanically sound and safe. We rely on a pilot that we don't even know. It's just a human being up front, and we have no idea how credible they are, really. We assume that they're licensed, right? They're trained properly. We have a lot of faith in that. But yet, at the end of the day, who do we rely on? The husband wanted to protect his wife, and that's a good thing. Husbands, yes, love your wives, protect your wives. Wives, love your husbands. We understand, we know that. That's the right thing to do. But remember, it's only God who can save us, right? It's only God who can save us. You know, as much as the husband wanted to be the one to make her safe, God's word teaches us that our safety in this world will not be determined by how tightly we hold to our spouse or our children or our jobs or our possessions. What the word of God is teaching us is that our safety will be determined by how tightly we hold on to Jesus and how loosely we hold on to this world. After all, folks, what does this world really have to offer us? Really? What does this world really have to offer us? Going back to our scripture reading this morning, Psalm 46 and verse 1. Let me read it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Folks, I believe that our God is our refuge and strength, don't you? You may have heard me say, if you know me personally, you may have heard me say sometimes, expect the unexpected and assume nothing. Why? Why do I say that from time to time? Because in this world we live in, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Trouble can come at any time. And you know something? We're worshiping online today because of that very phrase, expect the unexpected and assume nothing. You know why? Because COVID-19 pandemic has closed our buildings down. But yet, we are still worshiping God. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? That is a blessing. And as we look at this verse here in Psalm 46:1, we are able to decipher that there are two things that God is saying to us. One, He is saying that there will be trouble in this world. Anyone who has ever walked the face of this earth knows that there is trouble. Trouble everywhere, whether it's personal trouble, whether it's financial trouble, whether it's worldly trouble, wars and famines, whatever the case may be. But he is saying, David is saying that there will be trouble in this world. He's not sugarcoating it. David is not sugarcoating it in the book of Psalms. He's not hiding it from us. God wants to know that in this world there will be trouble. He wants to let us know that. And he tells us that. Plain, simple, factual in the Word of God. In our lives, there will be trouble. In our families, there will be trouble. In this church, in churches everywhere, there's trouble. People, Christians included, experience and will continue to experience trial. They'll continue to experience trouble. They will continue to experience sorrow and pain until the day the Lord returns. And I can't wait for that day, can you? I know I can't. And number two, in spite of the fact that there will be trouble, God is in an ever-present help, willing and able to shield us, to protect us, to lead us and guide us in and from the trouble that will come, no matter what it is. Now, Job knew this, and that's why Job was able to endure the affliction, the severe affliction that came upon him, not only him, and his family. In Job 14, verse 1, Job shares with us a little insight into life itself while he was going through the midst of this trial, saying that we have but a few days, and they are what? Full of trouble. We have but a few days on this earth, folks. Just a few. But you know, most of those days, there's trouble. There's troubles of every kind. For some people, the trial, the trouble, or affliction will come in the form of a physical illness or an injury. You know, we often hear about COVID-19, and cancer, heart disease, birth defects, or disabilities. For others, it will be in the realm of finances. And still others, will face a multitude of problems and issues, tribulations that will shake the very foundation of their lives. No one ever started out in this life believing that they would one day be incarcerated. When a baby is born, they have no idea that they're not looking down the road and saying, yeah, I'm going to be incarcerated. I'm going to be in prison. I'm going to be molested. I'm going to be a drug addict. I'm going to be poor. I'm going to be destitute. But these and a host of other ungodly conditions are the troublesome reality of many who live in this world, here at the end of the world, in this world today. There are Christian missions all over the world, and I am so thankful for Christian missions all over the world. Missionaries committing their lives to serve suffering humanity. Their concern is not so much about gender identity. They're not so much concerned about race or sexual orientation or even religion. Their purpose is to bring these people hope in the midst of their pain and hopefully over time connect them with the one who can alleviate their pain altogether and to bring them into a saving knowledge and transformation that can only come from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are men, women, and children all over this planet, even in our very backyard, who have been through traumatic experiences, having dealt with issues such as neglect, incest, and rape. Many others deal with bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, and they have suicidal thoughts. And a great number of these people wonder and contemplate the existence of God. Does God exist? How can God exist in the midst of this trial that I did not bring on myself? But also, many of these times, they dismiss the reality of God because they believe that His presence is something that they have never seen nor experienced. If they have never seen it or experienced, that means God cannot, does not, will not exist. Because their reality is one of trouble, of heartache and pain. And their disillusion can best be summed up in the words of Job, "Our days are few and full of trouble." But actually, David reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. No matter what you face, God does not sugarcoat the fact that there will be trouble in this world, but wants us to know that He is an ever-present help in the midst of any trouble that we face. Psalms 46, verses 2 and 3, again, in our reading at the beginning of this message, David speaks of the instability of the world around us, saying, "Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea," verse 3, "though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, God is there." In all of the situations in life, God is present. Amen? God is present. And I have personally witnessed the presence of God in troublesome times in my personal life. I can stand here today and testify to you, to anyone who may be watching, that there is a God, and there is a God that sees us through every trouble. There's a book written by Judith Wurst entitled, it's a funny title or however you want to look at it, "Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day." Let me read that again. Here's the title, "Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day." Interesting title, isn't it? Grabs your attention. Now, this book sums up life in general. In the book, one of the main characters is a youth, probably a teenager. His name is Alexander. He wakes up and things just do not go his way. He gets up. The chewing gum that was in his mouth the night before ends up in his hair. He trips on the skateboard and drops his sweater in the sink while the water is running. In the carpool on the way to school, he doesn't get a window seat. At school, his teacher criticizes him for singing too loudly and publicly scolds him for skipping the number 16, accounting time. His best friends, Paul, Albert, and Philip, desert him, and there's no dessert in his lunch bag. The dentist tells him that he has a cavity. The elevator door closes on his foot. Someone pushes him into a mud puddle, and the day is only half over. Is he having a bad day as a teenager? Sounds like it. Alexander wanted very badly to run away and hide, and several times within the book he is heard saying that he wants to move to Australia as if bad days don't exist in Australia. If that were true, it would be Australia and not the United States wanting to build a wall. What Alexander really wanted was a refuge. He wanted a place of safety, an umbrella in the midst of the storm. What he really wanted to know was that in spite of all the issues that he experienced that day, things would be okay. Life would get better. David, like Alexander, had those days as well, and more severe days, much more severe days than that. And like Alexander, David wanted to run, but David also understood that God is not the one that we should be running from. He is the one we should be running to. Psalm 27, verse 5, David wrote this, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." And in Psalm 62, verse 8, David writes, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Back to 27:5, David says, "He shall set me up upon a rock." Who is the rock in the Bible, folks? The rock is none other than Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our King. Trust in him. The word refuge calls our attention to sin and the wreckage it causes. Can I ask a question here? Is there any good thing about sin? Is there any redeeming quality about sin? When the Old Testament speaks of refuge, it is always in the context of a threat, something wrong or dangerous in this world. Sometimes the threat is physical, as in seeking refuge from a rainstorm. Sometimes it's seeking refuge from the burning hot sun in a desert. Sometimes it's protection from our enemies or our adversaries. Sometimes, in other instances, the threat is spiritual or it's emotional, as in sin from shame in your life, shame from sin, shame from some sin that you committed and you feel shameful, or it's loneliness. You know, there are many, many people in this world that are lonely. I have visited many, many retirement homes, and the one thing I leave with when I leave any home like that is the pervading loneliness that these wonderful elderly people experience every single day. Loneliness. It's very sad. But in all these cases, the Bible's use of refuge reminds us that we live in a world, it's wrecked by sin, a world of danger on the outside and brokenness on the inside. And what we must come to terms with is the fact that we cannot avoid these realities, but we can seek shelter from them. There's hope. That's what we can share to young people. That's what we want to tell a world that's full of lonely, depressed, hurting people. We cannot avoid these realities, but we can seek shelter from them. Shelter in the time of storm. Let's talk about the word refuge for a moment. The meaning of the Hebrew word refuge is a place of shelter. As if God is our shelter in the midst of the storm. He is an umbrella, as it were. An umbrella to keep us away from the elements. This doesn't mean that he removes us from the storms of life, but rather he shelters us while we are going through them. Nor does it mean that he will never lead us into difficult or troublesome situations. Jesus led his disciples, remember that, Jesus led his disciples into a what? A boat, knowing full well that a violent storm was in their future. Disciples were terrified, but Jesus, their refuge, calmed that storm. It was a lesson for them to trust in Jesus, trust in him. But guess what? The lesson was not just to trust Jesus sometime in the future, not to just trust Jesus at some particular moment and then not trust Him. It's to trust Him today and to trust Him every day. Amen? Friends, when we are in step with God's will, we must trust that we can face even the most trying and, yes, dark situations because God is with us. I know that there is not one person watching or listening today that does not face some kind of issue, some kind of trouble, some kind of dilemma in their life. You know, there is one answer and one answer only. God. God is love. God is grace. God is forgiveness. God is our strength. God is trust. And if God be for us, Romans says, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? No matter what our circumstances, no matter what, our safest place will always be with God, our refuge. And not only does He shelter us from the alarming issues of this life, and there are many, God's will is that we would seek His protection from the eternal consequence of sin. God provides us a shelter in the time of storm, friendship in times of loneliness, light in the midst of our darkest days, but even more significantly than that, the Lord is our refuge in the day of judgment. I've said here from time to time from this pulpit that the topic of judgment is not often raised in churches today because it's looked upon as something that is contrary to God's love. But as we study the wonderful aspects of salvation, judgment is full of love because God loves people. He loves sinners. He wants to redeem them. He wants to forgive them. He wants to lead them in paths of righteousness. Judgment is only for those who turn away and do not want anything to do with God and willing to do so from the deepest recesses of their heart. That's all that judgment is. Indeed, when we love God, there is no fear of that. The greatest need of all mankind is a shelter from the horrible consequences of sin. And this word refuge reminds us that God offers such shelter. And not everyone, as I already referenced in regards to this topic of judgment, receives this shelter. The Hebrew verb to seek refuge implies placing one's trust in the source of shelter in order to receive its benefits. Job chapter 24, verse 8 speaks of people clinging to rocks in a rainstorm to find refuge. And in Psalm 104:18, badgers find protection from danger by seeking refuge under the rocks. Most of the time, however, the trusting implied by this word is spiritual in nature, especially in the book of Psalms. Those who seek protection from ruin and judgment by trusting idols are foolish, Deuteronomy says. Those who seek shelter from the consequences of their sin by lying about it will be destroyed, Isaiah says in Isaiah 28. Those who depend on their riches for deliverance from sin's curse likewise will be ruined in Psalm 52. Only those who seek refuge from judgment by trusting God and following Him will be sheltered from eternal ruin. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, our scripture reference this morning, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But the reality is God cannot be our refuge and strength unless we allow Him to be our strength. Now here's a biblical question. How do I make God my refuge? How do I make God my refuge? It's easy to picture a physical refuge protecting us from some danger. But how can we make God, whom we can't see physically, our refuge? An easy way to make God a refuge is simply to invite Him to be. Invite Him to be. If you have never asked God to be your refuge, now is the time to do so. Just simply ask. Ask. For in Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in Him at, does it say sometimes? Does it say every now and then? Does it say when it's convenient? No. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. And that's just what David did. Sometimes he didn't do that, but he learned valuable lessons when he did not. And he realized when he wrote these Psalms that there was nowhere else to turn but his Savior. He poured out his heart to God, sharing with Him what was going on in his life and asking God to intervene, for he knew that he couldn't do anything about it. He knew that he needed divine help. When we turn to God for help or protection, we begin to know Him as our refuge, as our Savior. Savior, refuge, Savior, the two words are basically the same. There's a wonderful quote in the book, Our High Calling. This book was penned by Ellen White. And I'd like to share this quote before we close our message today. Just listen to the words that are penned here, because it deals with God. It deals with God as our refuge. It deals with God as our protector and what our role is in that. Here it is. Our God is an ever-present help in every time of need. He is perfectly acquainted with the most secret thoughts of our heart, with all the intents and purposes of our souls. When we are in perplexity, even before we open to Him our distress, He is making arrangements for our deliverance. Our sorrow is not unnoticed. He always knows much better than we do just what is necessary for the good of His children. And He leads us as we would choose to be led if we could discern our own hearts and see our necessities and perils as God sees them. But finite beings seldom know themselves. They do not understand their own weakness. God knows them better than they know themselves, and He understands how to lead them. If we will trust Him and commit our ways to Him, He will direct our steps in the very path that will result in our obtaining the victory over every evil passion and every trait of character that is unlike the character of our divine pattern. Deep words, but true. We do not know ourselves. We are finite. We have a beginning and an end. And how do I know that we have a beginning and end? Well, obviously, you can see people, they live, they breathe, they die. You can see cemeteries all over the world. We are finite. I remember my oldest son one time when he was around 4 or 5. He came to me one day and he said, "Daddy, God has to have a beginning and an end." I said, "Why, son?" He said, "Well, Daddy, if you could go into a spaceship and you could travel in space, you have to hit a wall somewhere. It has to stop somewhere." And I laughed within myself, not laughing at my son, but I understood that we are finite. That's how we think. We have a beginning and an end. Even in our travels, we have a beginning and an end. We get in our cars, we go to a location, we go back home. Our destination is finished at home. It's an end. Our concepts are not godly concepts. That is why God is our refuge, because He has no beginning. He has no end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end of all things. He created you. He created this world. When you think about it, the Old Testament's use of refuge is, in a sense, an Old Covenant rendering of John chapter 3:16. You all know this verse very well, I'm sure. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Isn't that your wish today, for everlasting life, to be with your refuge, to be with your protector, to be with your God for the ceaseless ages of eternity? But not only that, today, as you walk in this world of troublesome times, this text calls to mind the fact that clinging to Jesus as our Lord and Savior is the only way to find shelter from the consequence of sin. And I know, personally, and I know that everyone listening or watching to this message suffers from the consequence of sin. Yes, God wants to be our refuge. He wants to be our safe place in times of trouble. But more than that, He wants to be our place. Our place in good times. Our place in bad times. Our place all the time. God wants us to come to Him, to accept His love and forgiveness, and to be a part of His amazing family. God's family is amazing, you know. Are they perfect? No, they're not. But there's one thing that stands out to me when it comes to God's family. They all know that they need God in their life. And when we are part of His family, we don't need to run to Him because we will already be there. Isn't that good news today? So as we close our message today, even though our churches are closed down because of COVID, I pray that we will continue to seek God as our refuge because we need Him. We do. We need Him all the time. And you know, these times of trouble come. And someone said one time to me, trouble come because it tests our mettle. What does that mean? It basically means it tests our relationship with Jesus. And sometimes we're fearful. You know, that's okay. We are finite, and we are going to be fearful. But the Bible tells us, the Word of the living God tells us that God is our refuge in times of trouble, in any time at all. So I invite you, those who are watching, those who are listening, to take some time to open God's Word, test God's Word for your life, and see that God jumps out of the pages and wraps His arms around you and says, son, daughter, I love you. I love you. I want to be your refuge. Just trust me. Trust me. Take that little step forward and trust Him. You will not regret it. I know I won't. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that we can spend time in Your Word each and every day. But we're grateful that we can come together, no matter in what form, and we can open Your Word. And Your forgiveness, Your refuge jumps out at the pages of Holy Scripture. It digs deep into our heart and reveals to us our great need that we need the Savior because we do live in dark times. We do live in times of trouble. And the sinful beings that we are, we know that we can only find forgiveness and restoration when we trust and we lean and we submit to Jesus Christ. Every head is bowed. And I know there are people who are watching or listening who are in valleys of decision, wondering if this is the right decision to make. I encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit to come in. And you will never regret it. Never regret it. You will begin a new life. A new life in Jesus where you will know and you will have peace that Jesus is the refuge of your soul. We thank You, Father, for this time together. Until we meet again next Sabbath, we thank You. May each one receive a special Sabbath day's blessing, knowing that they have been with Jesus and knowing that Jesus loves them. This is my prayer and this is our prayer in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. God bless everyone.